Saturday morning to you. We hope you're doing well today. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob. I am Rob. That is Beth. Beth, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. I mean, it's like, it is almost, I mean, it's not almost, but it kind of feels like it's almost Memorial Day weekend. I mean, it's almost like the three-day weekend.
Stretching it.
I mean, it's not quite yet, but you're just starting to, like, change the clothes out of your closet to get your warm clothes in there. You're starting to think summer vacation's not too far away.
Yep.
It's kind of, I think that's kind of fun. I think May might be one of my top months of the year. I like December, too, because of the whole anticipation of Christmas, but May's pretty fun.
I have to say before you, I am really looking forward to this show. So Phil Cook is on the show today, and he was on our show last year in what was, I think by how many downloads we got, how many conversations we had, all that kind of stuff, was probably one of the, if not the best show of last year. And I wasn't even in it.
I know.
I was not available to be there. Todd pinch-hitted. So I'm not taking it personally. I'm assuming it was a great show because Phil was on, not because I was missing.
I think that Phil actually wanted to come back just to meet you. So I'm looking forward to him having that chance today.
Thank you. You are so nice to me. See, that's why you're good. That was quick, right? So anyway, he's going to be on the show, Phil Cook. He's got a new book called Unique. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like an incredibly interesting book. Phil's a highly respected producer, consultant. And so we'll get into all that kind of stuff as he's coming on the show today. He's going to talk about, you know, not only his book, but he's going to talk about social networking and entertainment and all that kind of stuff. So some good stuff.
Yeah, I think that Unique came from the seed of a book he wrote a while ago called Branding Faith, Why Some Churches and Nonprofits Impact the Culture and Others Don't. And then he took all the kind of more relevant research of most recent days and the anecdotal feedback he got from when he did Branding Faith and re-released it in this new form. And it feels cutting edge. I mean, he already feels that way. If you get on his, you know, blog or read his Twitter feed, holy cow, he's always up on kind of what is
happening. He's one of my favorite Twitter feeds because not only is it some of it really relevant, kind of informational, but sometimes he just retweets things that are quite funny or humorous. If you're going to follow somebody on Twitter, you can only pick about 10 people. He'd be one of the 10. He's incredibly interesting and funny.
Yeah, he does. I was just going to say, he wrote that we can receive in the average person about 5,000 messages of some form or another every single day. I mean, I don't know how many minutes are in a day. I haven't ever done that math before, but
we can probably figure it out quickly.
I'm thinking that is a lot of messages. Don't you think?
5,000.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, that's more than I would ever guess.
Yeah, absolutely. But if you think about it, I mean, and I didn't until I saw that stat, you know, as you drive down the highway, think about the number of billboards that you see. Mm-hmm. Right? You may not be consciously aware that you're seeing them, but that's a message that someone's trying to give you. Commercials, you know, something on Facebook or whatever. I mean, just, we're bombarded with messages. It's just crazy.
I was babysitting a 14-month-old baby the other day for about an hour, and she was playing with my iPhone, which she immediately knew how to unlock, and then she recognized visually.
How old?
Oh, yeah. 14 months. 14 months. So they
knew
how
to unlock your iPhone.
Swipe her finger, across the bottom of it, and then knew what the Netflix icon looked like. So she was clicking on the Netflix. But then once, you know, all the choices came, the next thing that little baby knew how to do was to scroll her finger up, you know, vertically up and down that screen. And I was just thinking, she's one imitating, you know, parents who, whatever it is that pops up on the screen is not good enough. We got to keep scrolling and seeing another message and another message and another message. And that is a 14-month-old. Heaven help
us. It tells me right now that I need to upgrade my security on my phone. That's the first thing that tells me.
Yes.
I do not have enough security on my phone, even though I have a password. I got to figure that out.
Yes.
But I'm also reading this great book by Kathy Davidson, who's she's a professor at Duke. And it's called Now You See It, and it's really about that. It's about how social media and technology and things is really just changing the way that we interact with the world and how the circuitry in our brain actually works. She's not writing it as a sense of, oh, you should be afraid of it. It's more like, hey, this is what's happening, and so this is how we use it to engage people in learning. But your comment about, oh, my gosh, this 14-month-old little person already knows how to engage the world through this kind of technology. That's just crazy.
Yeah, my friend Steve and Christy said that their daughter's first word was iPod. Because she
knew she
wanted the iPod. Yeah. I mean, I definitely think this is the direction education is moving. Certainly entertainment is moving. And it doesn't surprise me that brain chemistry is right there behind it.
I wonder what Phil would have to say about that 14-month-old. He'd probably have something to do like, well, we need to improve our branding because she's going to be interacting with it, and she'll either be bored quickly and move on to something else, or we'll engage her in something important.
I mean, I can remember back when I was in college, I took a child development class, and they talked about the reason that peekaboo game is so fascinating over and over again to a small child is because they've already forgotten that you were there, and you can do it again and again because their short-term memory is so incredibly short. And yet, I mean, I'm kind of thinking the adults, we go back for our same hit over and over and over again these days, right? I mean, like, we forget, we want more of the exact same thing. Our attention span is so short.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I just can't talk about a book that I would love to have Kathy Davidson on the show. Maybe we'll figure out how to do that someday. But it's not just a short-term memory thing. We are constantly, it has to do with this thing that Phil Cook's going to talk about, these 5,000 messages. A baby is constantly bombarded with, this is an important thing, and something else is unimportant. And so the peekaboo game is something, because of the way an adult interacts with a baby, says this is important. So it's not just about their memory anymore. It's also about the fact that somebody who I'm supposed to be interacting with is telling me that this game is important. And so they engage in it time and time and time again at the expense of something else that they're choosing to not pay attention to. And that's what we do when we get 5,000 messages a day, is we're tuning ourselves into some of them and tuning out what the other ones are. So I find that stuff interesting. Most people are probably like, what's the next station that I can turn to quickly because this guy is boring me?
No, I don't think that at all. I just Googled recently, actually, very recently, the top 10 things that people talk about online. And I was surprised that, like, politics isn't on there, because don't you feel like this year we've heard
really
enough about what our friends and family think about politics?
Yeah, and that's not one of the top 10 things people talk about online?
The day that the Defense of Marriage stuff came out, I saw someone's Facebook status that said, can we please go back to posting pictures of what you had for dinner, you know, which is not very nice. But
we just like to see your chicken Caesar wherever you happen to be. We don't want to talk about the Defense of Marriage Act.
I mean, so anyway, the number one thing that people talk about online apparently is health and health issues. So I have a pastor friend who constantly is commenting on when he's showing up at the gym, which seems to be most days. And I'm always thinking, I sure hope you're working your soul out as much as you're working your body. Like, I don't really need to know that you're at CrossFit yet again this week. But, you know, maybe that's not fair to him. But I just
So we only got a couple minutes left. So you mentioned 10. I need to know what the 10 are. The top 10 things that people are talking about online. Go.
Okay, I really will, but can I just say one more? Another status I just saw, where somebody was writing about the Defense of Marriage Act, and which I'm obviously in favor of. Underneath it, someone wrote, it's none of your business, and then the person below said, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen on social media in my life, because the whole point of social media is that I want my business to be my whole world's business. That's why I put it on social media. So to say I don't want something, I mean, that's just crazy and ironic. But here we go. Number two, games. People
number
are talking
one was
about
health.
Number two
one
is games.
Health. Number two is games.
Number three is auto and auto-related activities. So I bought my car. My Chevy Levy is, you know, to the whatever.
Gotcha.
Okay, number four is IT. People are, you know, tweeting whatever about the latest IT stuff.
Makes sense.
Number five is sports. I would have thought that would have been higher. Number six is home and recreation. Number seven is music. I would think that with all the social media sharing sites that we would have more, that music would be higher. Number eight is cinema. Number nine, what is this, a commentary on our world or not, is love and family matters. So we're talking very little about who we love in our family. And number 10 is women and women's issues.
Well, there you go, the top 10 things people talk about online. So there you go. When we probably engage in those anyway. We'll have to see if Phil Cook knows about that top 10 list, because he's going to join us right after the break. He's got a new book called Unique, and he is really an expert on all things entertainment, all things branding. And he is just an entertaining, engaging guy. So you do not want to go anywhere. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob, and we will be back right after.
He found shelter under the rock and lay there looking at the stars. God, do you remember me? In Tales of the Not Forgotten by Beth Guckenberger, Joel dares to ask for what he can't have. Serafina sacrifices what she can't afford to give. Ibram looks for an answer buried out of reach, and Christina, saved by a mission, searches for her own. Follow these life-changing stories as they take you on a journey to faraway lands and unfamiliar faces. Travel through their challenges and see the hand of the great story weaver writing endings you'd never imagine. These are the tales of the ones the world doesn't see, tales of the not forgotten. In Tales of the Not Forgotten, learn how God is the great story weaver, weaving the threads of our lives into a strong and beautiful sign of His love. Check out Tales of the Not Forgotten book and missions materials by Beth Guckenberger. For more information or to purchase, go to your local Christian supplier or visit standardpub.com. See lives transformed.
With Beth and Rob, and we hope you're having a fabulous Saturday morning this Saturday. And Beth, since I saw that Phil Cook was going to be on our show again, you know, he was on last year, I've been waiting for this interview because I missed it the first time. I loved his book. I follow him on Twitter. He's one of the most interesting guys on Twitter. He's got a new book out. It's called Unique. And just the sort of the tagline about it, today's culture is more connected than any time in history, but all of this connectivity comes with a price. And that's where this idea of 5,000 messages a day in one form or another. If you're a pastor, a nonprofit leader in this hyper-connected, highly distracted world, how do you get your unique idea, project, or vision on the radar? Isn't that the question? I mean, with 5,000 messages a day, how do we get people to train their thoughts on the important stuff or the stuff that we want them to know about? And there's nobody more able to tell us that than Phil. So, Phil, thanks so much. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, I'm thrilled to be here. It's always fun being with you guys, and I love to talk about this stuff.
Great.
You know what, Phil, last time you were here, we had a just a really interesting conversation. Our tagline on the radio show is conversations to inspire your day. And really, whatever it is that makes you unique, created conversations online with our listeners for weeks after you were online on the show. So anyway, we're excited to have you today. And just give us a little bit of the premise of the book and what inspired you to put it out there.
Sure. You know, we live in the most disrupted and cluttered culture in the history of the world. And it used to be that if you had a great idea, if you had a vision for a book or a movie, launch a business or start a church or an outreach, whatever, if it was really good, somebody would pay attention. But nowadays, it's not just the quality of the message or the vision you have. How in the world do you get through all the competition that's out there? We have a lot of clients that are on Christian media, like radio programs, television programs, and man, I'll tell you, in DirecTV, there's almost 500 channels. We discovered this about a couple of years ago that most people with a remote take about 2 to 3 seconds to decide what channel to watch. So in that world, it doesn't matter how brilliant your message is. If you can't get them to watch for more than 2 or 3 seconds to stay with you, you've failed. So it's become a much more difficult world to get your message heard, to get your ideas heard, and to get on the radar.
Like, you and I had a good conversation last time, and I've been thinking about a lot, about the difference between Christian media and secular media, and the difference between Christian messaging and secular messaging. And so, like, why do you think it is that Christians have had such historically a difficult time getting good media out there, getting their message in a way that feels relevant to the whole culture and not to just people who like them?
It's a great question. I twittered this morning that I wanted to start a museum to bad Christian television, but I can't find something big enough. And the truth is, I think historically we've had good intentions and we've meant well. The first generation of Christian media professionals on radio and TV were preachers. They weren't creative people like us. They were preachers. And so they were focused on the message. And I think what you find with most Christian TV, a lot of Christian radio, and still in Christian music and other areas, that they're trying so hard to get the message out there that they don't think in terms of the package, the way it looks, the feel of it. That is so important today. Marketing kind of has a bad word in the church, but the truth is marketing is just about how you get your message in front of the most people. And so I think that more than ever, we need to think in terms of the package as much as we do the message, because people have so many choices today. And if your book cover doesn't look great, they're never going to open it. If the opening of your television program isn't interesting and engaging, they're not going to watch for very long. So those kind of elements, and you know what? The truth is with your church, too. You know, how does your church look? I went to a church the other day with lime green carpet. And I thought, oh my gosh, I don't care how great the pastor is, this lime green carpet is distracting me from his message. Mm-hmm. And how many pastors have plants covering up the podium? I mean, come on, and flags and stuff. We just need to think more about how people, how we communicate our message, how people are watching, because that will decide whether they stick with you long enough to hear what you have to say.
You know, in the educational testing world, not in the education world, they call that face validity. You have to make sure that what you're doing actually looks like it is, that you know what you're doing. And beyond just the marketing part, and this word brand seems to come up all the time.
Yeah.
You know, what's your personal brand? What's your company's brand? Tell us a little bit about how you define brand. It's a big part of your book.
Well, you know, so many Christians particularly are scared of the word brand. They're afraid it means sweatshops in Asia or capitalism gone crazy or whatever. But the truth is, a brand is simply a perception. It's a compelling story that surrounds a person or a product or an organization. And the truth is, everything and everybody has a brand because everybody has an opinion about you. In other words, it's kind of, what do people think of when they think about you? What do people think of when they think about your church? What do they think of when they think about your book or your business or your organization or your radio program? And so in a world where people have unlimited choice about, they can go listen to other radio programs, they can read other books, they can watch another TV show, then that whole brand, that story that surrounds you becomes so, so important. And we see companies like Nike or Starbucks who spend a lot of time and a lot of effort into shaping that brand and influencing that brand, and it pays off because people have good feelings about it. You know, I always use the example of Billy Graham. Billy Graham has spent so many years just exuding integrity. They have so much integrity built up that his brand is an incredibly positive brand. Even people that don't have anything to do with Christianity, would never want to become a Christian, still think very highly of Billy Graham. Wow, what a perception. And if you could have that perception for your church or your company or your business, then it really changes people's attitude, and it makes them much more open to wanting to hear what you have to share.
We're talking with media producer, consultant, and author Phil Cook about his new book, Unique, that I think is probably on store shelves right now.
Absolutely. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, about anywhere you want to find a book, it's out there, or you can certainly order it, and it's very, very, very available.
Yeah.
You know, social media we have is such a different standard maybe for our social media. People are expecting, even like that crazy app Snapchat these days where everything that you put out is gone 30 seconds later. You know, what role does social media play in establishing your brand, and how much attention should we pay to the way our brand is portrayed on social media, since it's kind of here today, gone tomorrow?
Well, you know what? That Twitter post you do, or that Facebook post may be here today and gone tomorrow, but Twitter or Facebook and other social media platforms won't. And I always encourage people to take a look at them from a much more serious point of view. You know what? I really don't care that you're having a latte at Starbucks. And I don't know what the fascination is with taking pictures of your food and putting it on Instagram. I don't really get that. But the truth is, I've got about 22,000 people that follow me on Twitter, which in a weird sort of way makes me the pastor of one of the largest churches in America. Mm-hmm. So I take that I look at that as a real responsibility. So I want to speak words of encouragement and motivation, help people with challenges they're facing in the workplace. So I talk about leadership issues. I use that as a way to really speak into people's lives. And I think when you do that, you'd really be amazed at the response. So whether it's on Facebook or Pinterest, which happens to be the fastest-growing social media site out there right now, or Twitter, whatever it is you feel comfortable with or you like, I really encourage people to give it a try and start thinking more of using it as a strategic tool. I'll tell you something funny, and that is that since Facebook has passed the 1 billion member mark, it's now by membership, it's the third largest country in the world, somewhere between the United States and India. And I always ask church leaders, who's sending missionaries to that country? You know, who's planting churches in that country? We've got to stop thinking about missions in terms just of geographical boundaries and start thinking about missions in terms of digital boundaries, because that's a lot of people. And the secular world is reaching them. Coca-Cola, Del Taco, Kentucky Fried Chicken, they're investing a huge amount into social media because they know it's a potential audience. And I think we should think more seriously about it as well.
Yeah, I'm glad to be one of those 22,000 Twitter followers.
You're
I was mentioning in the first segment that if I had 10 people to follow on Twitter and I had to choose just 10, you would definitely be in the top 10.
Well, so
I'd say, I just ask the question, there's probably a lot of people who say they'd love to be in the Facebook country. They'd love to be in the Twitterverse, but they don't know how to do it. They don't know. It's like going to any other country. There's a culture, a language. There's social norms on those places. They don't know how to engage. What would you tell them, or how would you tell them to take the first step to engage in that country?
A couple things. Certainly unique. The book we're talking about today has a special has a whole section about social media, and it's written for anyone who's, you know, all the way from people who are more experienced to people who have never tried it. So I'd encourage people to get the book Unique, start looking at the social media sections, because it's a real primer. It's a real beginner's look at how I should engage, how I could start. The second thing is, find a teenager. There's not many teenagers in America today that don't fully understand social media. I think kids who are, we call them the millennials, kids born between 1980 and 1995, 97% of those guys are already connected to a social network. So they can be a great source of advice. If you have kids or grandkids or somebody you know in the neighborhood that is using social media, just sit down with them and play. Now, I'll say this. If you really are uncomfortable with it, I would put no pressure on you at all to get in there. You know, if you're just somebody who doesn't feel like you have room for it in your life or have time for it or just don't want to learn something new, don't feel incredible pressure to do it. I would rather you not do it than be really terrible at it and feel miserable. So don't feel the pressure. But I would encourage you to get your toe in the water. Try it a little bit. They're all free platforms. It doesn't cost anything. And you'd be kind of amazed. I'm a little bit of an obsessive writer. So, you know, Twitter only gives you 140 characters to write something. And that's my second language. I'm on the ADD side. So I'm popping up, you know, 140 character things all day long. So I really enjoy it. And I think other people would too.
When you are researching for Unique, and the subtitle again is Telling Your Story in an Age of Brands and Social Media, did you come across anybody who was doing it really well? Anyone that's just hitting it out of the park that would be
A number of people, actually. One of the people I talked to, Kristen Tarsook at Oasis Church here in Los Angeles, she said she's used Twitter to counsel women going through difficult challenges in Europe and the Middle East. They've helped people find a church home in South America. She said you just can't believe how much you can touch people around the world on a platform like Twitter. Katie Klinert, who's at Time of Grace Ministries in Milwaukee, who's the social media director there, she said, you know, at our church, we sent out postcards, we sent out emails, we delivered door hangers in the neighborhood, and still, someone said, I had no idea about this event. If you'd not said something about it on Facebook, I would have never seen it. So, you know, no matter what you do, social media has a way of punching through the clutter and actually getting people to notice. So I found some remarkable stories of people who were using it in pretty interesting ways.
We're talking with Phil Cook, who has a new book out called Unique, and as Beth mentioned, the tagline to that is Discover the Key to Sharing Your Compelling Story in the Age of Brands and Social Media. Phil, are you going to be able to join us after the break?
Absolutely. Love to.
Great. You know, Beth, it's interesting. My son, who's 18, I'll tell this quick story before the break. He's 18 years old, and he's been actually interacting with some of his friends, quote-unquote. He's never met these people on his Facebook page. They see that he's a believer, and they start asking him spiritual questions. Just, you know, what's it mean to be a Christian? And he's actually using his Facebook page as a way to interact with kids that he's never met. The thing that's so interesting about that is this is just second nature to him.
Yeah.
Right? Absolutely. And as Phil mentioned, find a teenager, find somebody. This is just second nature. This is like he's talking to just somebody next door. It's those of us who are in the 35, 45, 55 range that this sounds so odd. But for kids, this is just the way they interact, and we need to engage the culture in that way. We need to engage them with our brand through social media, and if my son's any indication, there's a whole group of people waiting for that to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think that is the way that we are staying in touch these days, so let's learn to use it well.
Absolutely. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob. We're talking with Phil Cook, and we hope that you will join us right after the break. And maybe we'll spend some time, Beth, talking about that Bible series Phil had a lot to say about when it was on. So come back right after the break.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care, assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Visiting Angels has over 400 franchised locations across the nation. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours a day. Rates are affordable, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has cared for hundreds of thousands of seniors nationwide. Franchises are available. Call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels now at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care, at 877-374-LIVE.
He found shelter under the rock and lay there looking at the stars. God, do you remember me? In Tales of the Not Forgotten by Beth Guckenberger, Joel dares to ask for what he can't have. Serafina sacrifices what she can't afford to give. Ibram looks for an answer buried out of reach, and Christina, saved by a mission, searches for her own. Follow these life-changing stories as they take you on a journey to faraway lands and unfamiliar faces. Travel through their challenges and see the hand of the great story weaver writing endings you'd never imagine. These are the tales of the ones the world doesn't see, tales of the not forgotten. In Tales of the Not Forgotten, learn how God is the great story weaver, weaving the threads of our lives into a strong and beautiful sign of His love. Check out Tales of the Not Forgotten book and missions materials by Beth Guckenberger. For more information or to purchase, go to your local Christian supplier or visit standardpub.com. See lives transformed.
If becoming or staying debt-free is important to you, you're not alone. 10 years ago, I was worried sick, overwhelmed with debt, and so tired of not having enough at the end of the month to make ends meet. I was working a full-time job, but getting deeper in debt every month, and I hated being away from my children. I finally said, that's enough, and I made a decision to do whatever it took to get free from the terrible debt that was causing me so much stress. I'm Gina Neef, and I want to invite you to find the same financial freedom that I found. Not only did I pay my way out of debt, I was also able to leave my corporate job and work from home and be completely available to my family. For years now, I've worked part-time hours, making more than a full-time job would ever pay. I remember the pain of being in over my head, and I'll never forget the joy of becoming debt-free. That's why I show others how to do the same. If you're ready to work from home and find financial freedom, then I'm eager to show you how. Go to findingfreedomnow.com. Discover how you can get free from debt. Go to findingfreedomnow.com.
Last October, I went on a back-to-back mission trip to Nigeria, where I had a chance to meet the boy I sponsored through back-to-back. The moment I met him, it became real that Jeremiah was not just a boy in a picture. He was a boy with dreams, hopes, and a story just like my own kids. At that moment, I saw how back-to-back is changing the lives of orphans around the world. I realized that in the same way I'm here for my children to be part of their stories, I can also be part of Jeremiah's. In the same way that my children can be a brother or sister to each other, they can care for Jeremiah. They can write him letters and share their stories as they grow up. We can help him to receive an education and food to fill his stomach, but more importantly, we can be involved in his life and encourage him to follow his dreams. I learned that sponsoring a child through back-to-back is not just about financial support for an orphan. It is about allowing God to intertwine your story and your heart with a child in need. For more information on sponsoring an orphan like Jeremiah through back-to-back, contact 513-754-0300 or email at childsponsorship@back2back.org.
Fabulous Saturday morning, wherever you are out there on this Saturday. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning.
I'm really enjoying this conversation. We are talking with Phil Cook, media producer, consultant, lives out in Hollywood. He's got a new book out called Unique, Discover the Key to Sharing Your Compelling Story in the Age of Brands and Social Media. Phil, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm interested, Phil, I know it's not directly tied to your book, but, you know, I watched the Bible series.
Yeah.
In and out. I watched every one of them. And it was just a runaway hit. I did the two screen thing. I watched it on TV and then followed the Twitter feed.
Mm.
And I'm just curious as to why you think it was such a gigantic runaway kind of thing.
Well, it's funny you ask, because in the last week I've had calls from Time Magazine, Christian Science Monitor, and NBC Nightly News, all baffled that it was such a runaway success. It was like some, and other reporters, I've got plenty of other calls from reporters who just are confounded as why anybody would care about watching Bible stories on television. And it really shows you the disconnect between what we call mainstream media in many ways and the general public in America. And I always tell them that, hey, Pew Research indicates there's 91 plus million evangelical Christians in America. Let me tell you, that's the largest special interest group. Television, network television people program for the gay audience or the environmentalists or the feminists or the sports mm-hmm. fans, or there's a million special interest groups out there. But the truth is, the Christians are the biggest ones there are. And so I think Hollywood is starting to recognize, whether they believe the Bible or not, they're recognizing that this is a very serious potential customer base, and we need to start showing Christians not as just bad guys all the time, like all of us would probably agree they've been doing for the last 20 or 30 years, mm-hmm. but start creating programs for people who take their faith seriously. So I think this was a great example of that. Of course, it took the power and influence of a guy like Mark Burnett and Roma Downey to put this thing together. But the truth is, Hollywood is definitely noticing. I was on the set of the new Noah film that Paramount Pictures is doing. They're spending about $180 million to do an epic feature on the life of Noah starring Russell Crowe. And that'll be coming out in 2014. And I was on the set, and the Ark is probably the most amazing set I've ever seen in my life. It's pretty amazing. And so it's interesting to see how Hollywood is taking Christians seriously and thinking more and more about creating programming to reach that crowd.
I'm curious, there was part of me that was watching the series just for entertainment, just to enjoy it. As I mentioned, I was going through the Twitter feed and all the, controversy discussion that was going on there. Was there a part of your brain as you were watching that was not only you watching it to enjoy, but was also focused on the quality of the production that would go with what you're saying here in your book about how Christians sort of brand themselves or show themselves to the world?
Absolutely. I'm a director and a producer myself, so it's hard to take those hats off.
Right.
And I'm always looking at scenes thinking, now I would do it differently. And you're right. They didn't have a big budget. It was $22 million for 10 hours, which is more than a lot of things, but still it's not nearly what they spend on feature films. And the average feature film today for a 90-minute feature film costs $35 million. So you can see it was not really that much. So they had to cut some corners and make some choices. But I think overall I was very proud of what they did. I would have maybe shot different scenes different ways. But I was thrilled that a major cable network is putting the Bible in primetime television, and the show will go out globally eventually throughout the world. And, boy, I tell you, how can you argue with that? That's a wonderful thing.
I can't find a way to argue with it.
Well, you know what? People do. I find Christians all the time. I met a lady the other day saying, well, it's just not accurate. And I said, well, excuse me, how do you condense the Bible into 10 hours for one thing? And number two, you have to give them a little creative license because the Bible mm-hmm. wasn't written as a screenplay. Mm-hmm. So we have to, make it a story, make it a little movie or TV episode. And, we need to cut them a little slack because the upside is so much greater than any potential downside there is. I don't care if Goliath didn't look like I thought he might look, or Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus wasn't like what I saw in my head, or maybe not exactly scripturally correct. I can live with that. The Bible is big. And I'll tell you, the greatest thing is, the Bible makes water cooler conversation at the office about the Bible is cool again.
Yes.
So many people worked in the office and were afraid for so many years to share their faith or talk about God, talk about Jesus. But now people are all over the country are finding coworkers are asking them questions about the Bible. And what a great opportunity. I just say, let's seize the moment and run with it.
So what do you think that the average, you know, the church down the street, couple hundred members, maybe a bigger church, what can they learn perhaps from what the Bible did, the way they the way they showed themselves, the way they branded them? What could a local church learn from that?
You know what? I think number one, quality matters. You know, they could have done that Bible series poorly. They could have done it cheaply, on the cheap, and they would have gotten a fraction of the audience. The truth is, a lot of people who weren't Christians at all watched it just because they were fascinated because it was a well-told story. Mm-hmm. So I think quality, we need to realize in this age of so much choice, people have plenty of other things to do, so we need to do things extremely well. Quality needs to be a part of the mix. I think that's number one. Number two, I think we need to unite. If we Christians, we 91 million evangelical Christians in America, would unite together as one, I think we could change Hollywood tomorrow. You know, the truth is, Hollywood doesn't respond to criticism. They don't respond to boycotts. They respond to box office. So when they see a movie or a television program is generating a huge audience, they want to make more of that stuff. So instead of, you know, criticizing these kind of efforts, if we would go out and support the upcoming Noah film that's coming out, or we support Chronicles of Narnia, or we support the Bible series or whatever, Hollywood would get the message. And I think they realize, I mean, trust me, Hollywood is not, obviously there's some, you know, crazy people in Hollywood, but they're not, as an industry, it's not so anti-family or anti-church or anti-religion. They just don't get that stuff. They're not Christians. They don't get it. And they just want to make a buck, and they'd sell their grandma to do it. So I think let's appeal to that. If we could support movies and let them see there's a huge audience that wants more biblically themed, inspirational, positive movies, they would make more of that stuff because ultimately they want to make a profit. So there's a role for us to play. And instead of sitting back and complaining all the time, I think if we seize the moment, became much more intentional about positive, good movies and supported those, it would make a real difference.
We are talking with Phil Cook about his new book, Unique, about, amongst other things, and which is coming right on the heels of what was a great book, One Big Thing. And so we're glad to have Phil on the show.
Phil, one of the things that your company does, Cook Pictures in LA, is that you coach churches and you coach many ministries about how to engage today's culture with the gospel. And I'm just curious, as you were writing the book and you were coming up with good examples and bad examples, what are some of the most common mistakes organizations are making today?
That's a great question. For one, organizations, I think many churches and ministry organizations think in very limited terms. You know, the funny thing is, as we were talking earlier, with social media, you can make more of an impact than you think. I mean, we live in a world where a three-minute video can get a million views on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And so even the smallest church today, if they're creative, if they come up with some really compelling ideas, can use social media to engage many, many more people than they possibly think. I think it's incredibly important to do it. I think another mistake people make is too many pastors are trying to chase relevance. You know, a number of years ago, pastors thought they'd break with tradition and start preaching in jeans and wearing shirts with the shirt tails out. Well, you know, so many people do it now. That's tradition. That's common. Now everybody's looking the same again. So I think when you chase relevance, you become hopelessly irrelevant. You know, I like to tell people, you don't have to make the Bible relevant. It's already relevant. Just preach the Bible. And so I think we sometimes spend too much time trying to be trendy and cool and hip, and not enough time just boldly preaching the truth. And so I'd say, you know, stop trying to be hip, and particularly when you're trying gimmicks. Gimmicks, I just think whatever buzz a gimmick may generate over the long haul, it doesn't work. I grew up in the South with my dad, a pastor, and I remember pastors who would shave their head if you brought so many people to church, or they'd do, you know, weird stuff. And people in high school, I grew up in high school with people saying, you know, why is Pastor Johnson doing such stupid things over there? And so I've always had this sense that we have to be very sensitive and careful about how the world interprets what we do, how we engage the culture, because that determines whether they're going to step forward and listen to our message. So I think we just need to think more about how non-believers listen to us, what our message sounds like out there, and in many ways stop being the people who are against everything and start being the people who are for something. If we could do that, it would really get the attention of the culture.
Mm-hmm. Phil, I'm hoping you can join us just for a second after the break. There's a part of your book that I'd love to ask you about, and
sure.
That's what you think about the future of branding, the future of branding faith. So we're going to be back right after the break. We've been talking with Phil Cook, who is the author of a new book, Unique, Discover the Key to Sharing Your Compelling Story in the Age of Brands and Social Media. And, man, what a message for what the church, what Christian community needs to do right now to begin to engage their culture through the use of social media instead of stepping back. So join us right after the break. We will be right back after this. This is Real Life with Beth and Rob. I'm Rob, that's Beth, and we'll be back right after this.
Last October, I went on a back-to-back mission trip to Nigeria, where I had a chance to meet the boy I sponsored through back-to-back. The moment I met him, it became real that Jeremiah was not just a boy in a picture. He was a boy with dreams, hopes, and a story just like my own kids. At that moment, I saw how back-to-back is changing the lives of orphans around the world. I realized that in the same way I'm here for my children to be part of their stories, I can also be part of Jeremiah's. In the same way that my children can be a brother or sister to each other, they can care for Jeremiah. They can write him letters and share their stories as they grow up. We can help him to receive an education and food to fill his stomach, but more importantly, we can be involved in his life and encourage him to follow his dreams. I learned that sponsoring a child through back-to-back is not just about financial support for an orphan. It is about allowing God to intertwine your story and your heart with a child in need. For more information on sponsoring an orphan like Jeremiah through back-to-back, contact 513-754-0300 or email at childsponsorship@back2back.org.
Real Life with Beth and Rob. We hope you're having a fantastic, wonderful Saturday wherever you happen to be today. Talking with Phil Cook, who is the author of Unique. Phil also happens to be a media producer, a consultant. He helps churches kind of get their brand out there for people to recognize, lives out in Hollywood. And so, Phil, before the break, I wanted to make sure that I at least got your thoughts on what I found a really great part of the book, which is the future of branding faith. What do you imagine is going to be happening? How can churches jump in on this?
Well, one of the things I think we need to think about is switching from a marketing mindset to an influencing mindset. You know, when you market, you're trying to, it's a one-way conversation telling everybody about you. Come to this event, do this, buy my book, whatever. But an influencing mindset makes you think more about the audience than you. So you're thinking more in terms about how can you create stuff that will help them? How can you say things that will help them? How can you give them information that will help them get to the next level in their life or career or walk with Christ, whatever the situation. So I think influencing needs to be the way we need to just, you know, I'm not against marketing, but it's in a digital world where things are a two-way conversation now, where people can talk back through mobile phones and other technology. We need to think more about how we can influence them to do things that will help take their life to the next level. It's not just about selling your products or getting to show up at church and those kind of things. It's more about really having long-term influence in their lives, and I think that's a big part of the future. I'm very excited about it, actually, and I think what you guys are doing, making this kind of conversation happen on the radio, is a wonderful, wonderful thing because, you know what, the world is changing faster than we ever dreamed, and it's not a matter of is it going to change. It's the fact is it's already changed, and we need to get on board.
Yeah. Well, Phil, we know you're an incredibly busy guy. We so appreciate you making the time to be on the show again. Nothing but blessings with the new book.
Well, thank you. I'm thrilled to be on, you guys. I love your questions. I can always tell if somebody's just asking questions or starting a conversation, and that's what you guys are about, and I've had a great time. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Phil.
Blessings to you.
See ya.
Yep. Phil Cook, I mean, I could talk to that guy for hours. I mean, just the insight and knowledge he has about stuff is amazing.
Yeah, I really like that last thing he just said. I mean, I feel like I've heard that over and over and over again. I took a social media webinar the other day from Sevenly, those guys that are doing great things. If you're not familiar with Sevenly.org, check it out. They're people that are raising money for various nonprofits. And they, in their webinar, that's exactly what they said. You have to think more about the audience than you. It's not just about selling your product. People know when they're being marketed, and it feels like spam online. It doesn't feel like a conversation, and nobody wants to be spammed at. Everybody wants to be conversed with.
you know, it is an interesting thing, and it could be why Christians in general, churches in particular, shy away from engaging in social media, because it does become a conversation. And I do think for whatever reason, and it's whatever sad reasons, that we have disengaged from conversation and we just want to tell people stuff, right? And so Christian organizations or Christian schools or churches or whatever, they're like, hey, let us just tell you what it is that you should know or think about, instead of inviting those people into a conversation. I think that perhaps that's why churches tend to be at the back end, and Christian organizations tend to be in the back end of this conversation. They don't know how to do it, or they're afraid to do it in the first place.
I thought it was really interesting when he said that there are now a 1 billion Facebook users. And
yeah, that's crazy.
You know, one of the third largest nations between India and the United States, and how we should be thinking about how to send missionaries there. We should be thinking about how to plant churches there. That is, it's there are people who interact more digitally than they do in, you know, real time with anyone else, and if we're going to reach them, we got to learn how to speak their language.
Yeah, I talked about Charlie at the end of the second segment about this is, I mean, this is just natural to him to have a conversation online, to answer questions, to be upfront about his faith in sort of a, you know, sort of a laid back way. That just comes naturally to him, and that is natural to kids who are growing up, you know, 35 and under, 30 and under. That's what people are, you know, it feels natural to them to do that.
Mm-hmm. I also like when he talked about how, he didn't say it's a shame, but I'm thinking it's a shame that people know us more as what we're, for what we're against than what we're for. And,
right,
you know, if social media, for example, or branding is about getting our message out there, I just hope our message is more about what we're in favor of. I mean, I think about our organization, Back to Back Ministries, and your wife works for us in the marketing communications department, and she is like the brand Nazi in that we don't want to tell stories about orphans that aren't hopeful. It doesn't even make sense. You know, when I just watched recently a video for another missions organization, and it had like the bloated bellies and the flies coming on the face. Mm-hmm. And I felt when I saw it instantly guilty, even though I had no reason to feel guilty about what was happening in a part of the world that I've never been to. I felt guilty. I had like this knee-jerk, short-term reaction to it. Whereas when you read or hear about something that's exciting, hopeful, inspiring, where God's moving, your reaction might be slower to get on the boat, but then you're on it forever because you want to be swept up in the movement of God. And so I just think we can't really shame people. We can't discourage them. We've got to be telling the right kinds of stories so that people want to be engaged.
Absolutely. Speaking of social media, we're online, reallifewithbethandrob.com. You can visit us there, and we'll have a link to Phil's website and to his book, those kind of things. Visit us on Facebook, Real Life with Beth and Rob. We'd love to give away a book or two this week, perhaps. So if you're visiting us on Facebook, make a comment about today's show or something like that. We'd love to send you a copy of the book, and maybe you'll be one of those lucky folks that gets one.
I think so, too. I mean, I definitely think that all of us could benefit from Unique, even if we're not necessarily a church or ministry leader responsible for the branding. We are all responsible for how our own personal faith and that message gets out on the world. I was just reading the other day in Mashable, which is like an online magazine about technology. They were talking about one of the most dangerous apps is an app called Snapchat,
yeah.
Snapchat, where...
Charlie, yeah.
And it's growing so fast among students. But whatever it is that you post is erased, and a video is erased in 30 seconds or whatever. And so it's really dangerous because kids are putting the kinds of things on they don't want on social media forever, but they might send to their boyfriend something very quickly that's inappropriate, and how a lot of inappropriate messages are being passed among underage folks. And I just think we've got to have our finger on that pulse. We've got to be able, regardless if he was like all gracious, like if you don't feel comfortable on social media, don't go out there. But I'm thinking to myself, you got to at least know the words, right? You got to be able to have the conversation with your family or your spouse or your neighborhood about what's happening in the world of social media. So if you're not comfortable, you know, buy a magazine and read about it in the privacy of your home, but figure it out.
That's right. That's right. Hey, on a little different level, Mark Schultz is going to be down in Monterey. You know, we had him on a couple of weeks ago, and I think some folks signed up as a result to be down there with him. And so what's going to be going on this week at Back to Back? Mark Schultz is going to be there. Give us a little idea what's happening.
Oh, I love Mark. Mark is a Christian recording artist, a 14-time Dove winner, and he invited all of his fans in his spring tour to come and join him on a missions trip. And it starts this coming weekend here in Monterey. So it's not too late to sign up. You can still come. They travel here on the 26th of May. And they'll be here for a week. They'll be working alongside the orphanages that we serve. And we're going to culminate on Thursday night with a concert that Mark will be giving here in town. And the warm-up act are all the kids from the orphanages we serve. So they are going to do like a little talent show, and they're going to open up for him. And I think he's a fantastic performer, but I think he's going to have his competition cut out for him that night.
Man, I tell you, when he was on the show a few weeks ago, you know, I knew, I had not talked to him before. You know, I've read his stuff. I knew he's been to Back-to-Back. I knew that you guys were connected. But to hear the passion in his voice, mm-hmm. this is not a publicity stunt for somebody to buy his album or something like that. No. This is a guy who says, I'm going to go serve orphans, and by the way, it'd be great if you came with me. I mean, he is just passionate about this cause.
He's bringing his whole family here, and he said to me when we first started to talk about the idea, if no one signs up, I'm still coming. I mean, he has a heart to be here, and he just wants to use his voice. The very first time he was here, we walked into a children's home, and he immediately got kind of emotional. He's adopted himself, and as he shared in his interview, and he said, what is it that I can do, Beth? What is it? I'm leaving in 24 hours. What can I do? Mm-hmm. And I said, these are kids that have no voice, and you have the most amazing voice. Just mm-hmm. speak on their behalf. And he's very much taken that challenge to heart and very seriously.
Yep.
And so this is another way for him to do it.
Yeah, so if you're sort of one of those relatively impulsive, don't make plans far ahead kind of people, you can still go on the trip.
Yay!
Right?
Come
so you
see
can go
me
visit
next week.
That's right. Come see Beth next week in Monterey with Mark Schultz.
Relative.
But you can go to backtoback.org. back2back.org, and you can talk to Chelsea about that. She'd be able to help you with the trip coordination. You can also go there if you're wondering about some trips this summer, and you're just like, you know, it's been gnawing at me. I really want to go do this. I want to engage in something bigger than myself that has to do with orphan care. You can go to back2back.org. You can see the calendar, this summer's calendar, and where there's not many open spots left. But the last I checked, there's a handful of open spots, and it could be just your spot waiting.
Oh, I'd love that. I would love to invite all of you to come and spend some time with these kids that I love and enjoy every day and who really, really want to get to know you. We help you do it in a way that feels appropriate, that feels like it's part of something long-term. And they want you to catch them in the swimming pool, push them on the swing, kick a soccer ball to them. They want you to build their bunk beds and install their ceiling fans and feed them at dinner. So come on down. We'd love
Absolutely.
To have you.
Hey, a great show today. You know, I think about when we talk with somebody like Phil and what might get lost in this idea of branding and marketing and all that kind of stuff is that we're just trying to, you know, look good or we're trying to do something. But that really isn't what Phil's talking about. That's not his heart. Certainly not the heart of the people that he helps or certainly not the heart of this show. It's really about presenting a face to the world that allows them to engage with the things that are eternal, the things that are important. So I don't want to get lost in that somehow Phil's thing was about looking good mm-hmm. and this is about doing something important. These two topics go together.
That's exactly right. It really is that missionary's heart, that if we're going to reach out to our culture all over the world, we need to know how to put our message in a way that's relevant, not, as he said, relevant for the sake of being relevant, but relevant so that we can meet them on the mediums they're already in and just do excellent quality work that represents Jesus.
Absolutely. Well, we got some other great shows coming up. I just want to give people an idea of what's coming up in the weeks ahead. You know, we're going to have Jonalyn and Dale Fincher back on. Jonalyn was awesome when she was on before. Ken Blanchard's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks. So we got some great guests coming up, some good conversation coming up. More importantly than that, we want you to have these kind of conversations as you turn off the radio and get engaged in your day. And more important than that, we want you to be involved, engaged in what's going on around the world. So hopefully this show will inspire you to do those things.
And if you want to send today's show to anyone that you think might benefit from Phil's wisdom today, feel free to look for those on iTunes or at Real Life with Beth and Rob.
Absolutely. Another great week, Beth. Good talking to you.
You
Hopefully
too,
things
friend.
Are going well in Monterey. And for all of you out there listening, have a great week. Go out there and have some great conversations. So until then, have a great week.